further. I'm going to read a paragraph from the second chapter of Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe, and after that I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what an analysis of this chapter might involve. This is towards the middle part of the second chapter, different pages and different editions. But it starts with the words, Umuofia was feared by all its neighbors. First I'll read the passage and then I'll talk about how perhaps to analyze it. Umuofia was feared by all its neighbors. It was powerful in war and in magic, and its priests and medicine men were feared in all the surrounding country. Its most potent war medicine was as old as the clan itself. Nobody knew how old, but on one point there was general agreement. The active principal in that medicine had been an old woman with one leg. In fact, the medicine itself was called Agadi Muagi, or Old Woman. It had its shrine in the center of Umuofia in a cleared spot, and if anyone was so foolhardy as to pass by the shrine after dusk, he was sure to see the old woman hopping about. That's the end of the passage. Now, as to the analysis. We know that Umuofia is a very warlike village, very warlike clan, powerful in war and magic. In the previous paragraphs before this, we've just learned that the village of Mbino has feared to go to war with Umuofia, simply because they knew it was very powerful. And so we're aware that Umuofia is a very powerful, very warlike village. Here we learn about its war medicine. Nobody knew how old it was, but the active ingredient, the active principle in that medicine was an old woman with one leg. In fact, the name of the medicine was Old Woman. Now this should be startling to those of us from a Western culture. Here we have a society, a very warlike society, in which the active principle in the war medicine is almost an icon of weakness. Well, when it comes to old versus young, young is strong and old is weak. When it comes to man and woman, in this culture or any culture, man is strong and woman is weak. And among women, among old women, perhaps even crippled old women, are weaker than old women who are not crippled. So it would be harder to imagine a war medicine that stands for something masculine, young, and strong, that it would be hard to imagine a war medicine that would seem to be more the opposite, feminine, old, and weak. It tells us a great deal about the society of Umuofia. Umuofia is a society clearly that believes, in a way in which our own culture does not believe, that the opposite forces must be present for something to achieve its potential. That is, within strength, there must be weakness to make the strength strong. Within masculinity, a warlike quality, there must be femininity to make the masculinity masculine. Within youth, soldiers, fighters are young, there must be age to make the youth truly youthful. And within wholeness or health, there must be lack of wholeness. Here it's the one leg, the old woman with one leg instead of two, to make the healthiness really whole. So from this paragraph we learn that this society believes in a balance, or at least a mutual inclusion of opposites. Now that tells us a number of things. Number one, it tells us that this society is in this respect very different from our own society. One cannot imagine in our own society a football team, let's say, or a battalion or a platoon in the military or in the Marines, whose symbol would be an old woman with one leg, a weak old woman. In our society, symbols of strength are always strong in themselves, are almost an exaggeration of their strength. A symbol of strength might be a bulldog, or it might be a man on steroids. Symbols of strength are strong symbols. And our culture, opposites are not seen as complementary or as necessary to one another in many ways. They are seen as repulsive to one another. And that tells us something else about the book, because that's largely the way it is with Okonkwo. Okonkwo himself is a person who tries to exclude the opposite of whatever it is he wishes to achieve. He's afraid of being like his father, so he excludes all, not only all laziness, his father was lazy, but all gentleness, all anything that could be gendered feminine, anything that was like his father that could be gendered feminine, Okonkwo excludes, so that there's, he concentrates on the masculine, violent, strong principle alone, and the other principles become excluded. And as a result, the feminine and the weak always come back to haunt him. He continually commits feminine crimes, crimes against the earth goddess when he beats his wife, a feminine crime when his gun goes off and kills a young man at the funeral, at the feast, necessitating him his banishment for 7 years. A crime of being fought weak when he kills Ikemefuna when he should not have even gone on the march and on the journey with him. Okonkwo gets into great trouble from always trying to put down and repress the gentle feminine side of his nature. And he especially comes into conflict in this society because we see from this paragraph here with the war medicine that this society is one which values, at least on a certain level, the incorporation of opposites, the unity of opposites within that culture. Male and female are both important, not only male. We later learn of an old man who was so close to his wife that he would not make any decision without her, and that in fact, she dies as soon as she learns of his death. And all of the Okonkwo's friends talk about how he was a great war leader and was extremely close to his wife. And we see in that passage later on that Okonkwo is completely uncomprehending. He cannot understand how this can be the truth. But the other people in the village who don't have Okonkwo's demons to conquer, they don't have his particular history with his own father, of whom he's deeply ashamed. The other leading men in the village don't find anything strange about this at all. So, this paragraph, which does not contribute to the advancement of the plot in any direct way, we never hear about this war medicine or this old woman again. The shrine is never mentioned again in the novel. Nevertheless, reveals something very important to us that has ramifications throughout the entire novel. And I think that's that kind of analysis is what you should aim at in analyzing very short passages. In principle, any paragraph can be analyzed in this way. It's there for a purpose. This is a very highly constructed work. We can be sure that the author and all of the other authors we're using, and general writers of fiction and poetry and literature, put the words there to have a certain effect or to have a multiplicity of effects. And we should pay very close attention to these smaller passages and then try to integrate them into an understanding of the larger structures of the novel, so that we can not only look at the novel as a whole, or large parts of it as a whole, and talk about the ideas in general, but we can also get very specific, very individual passages, and thus show that there's a unity between these small structures, sentences, paragraphs, and the larger structure. So it's the kind of thing that I would like you to aim at in your analyses in this course. Don't pick very long passages of several pages. Pick much shorter passages and go into them in some detail and some depth. And that will lead to good analysis and good understanding of the skills and also the intentions of the authors. Thank you.